my best friend.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
I really feel like right now, Chuck Schumer is basically public enemy number one, and he's Jewish.
Well, it's shameful. I mean, he can handle these issues one by one, and he should. I've called upon him to do it, and all of us should. I mean, we need every elected official, every leader in this country, every conscientious citizen to show solidarity with our Jewish students and with the Jewish people and with Israel. Israel is fighting for its very existence right now. This is not some political game. And these kids out there that are chanting, some of them chanting death to America, is not something that should be allowed. They've co-opted the First Amendment, and they're using those arguments to protect calls for genocide and to elevate the voices of anti-Semites. This is the stuff of the 1930s. I mean, it has to be stamped out. Sid, we found out yesterday one of the estimates is you've got issues like this and protests like this on maybe as many as 200 college and university campuses right now. Wow. Somebody's got to speak out, and members of Congress and leaders in Congress have an obligation to do that, and that's why we came to New York yesterday.
Right there, that was the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who joined me live on this show yesterday. This show is, it's so big. I mean, think about the guests that we get on a regular basis, including today. It's been great. Mike Lawler, Curtis Sliwa. Moments ago, we spoke to Judge Andrew Napolitano. The story that everybody's covering today, Harvey Weinstein's rape reversal overturned in New York. His famed defense attorney, Arthur Idala, walking over here. He'll be live in studio. Gordon Chang, who is the voice when it comes to China slash Russia versus America. He'll be here. My friend Eileen Jimenez, big-time life coach. She'll be in studio later. But right now, the man, of course, his father does a great job on this station, 3 p.m. every weekday afternoon, but so does he with his own show and his own podcast, my dear buddy, Andrew Giuliani. Andrew, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Sid, good morning, my friend. You know, I got to tell you, you and I are lifelong giant nuts. And, you know my sexual orientation. I swing straight, and that's just the way I've always been. I've been turned. But there's one day a year where fat men turn me on, and that's day one of the NFL draft. I guess 3 days a year it's during the NFL draft. We didn't get a fat man yesterday, so I was a little disappointed. Although when Bill Belichick told me that Neighbors was top-notch, as he told the world last night, I said, you know what? Okay, I can deal with it. Let's see if we can get a couple fat men tonight.
Yeah. I mean, look, I would, unfortunately, I've lost a lot of the luster for Belichick because the truth is, once Tom Brady left New England, they were 9 games under 500, and his coaching stays before Tom Brady, including Cleveland, were not very good either. And now he's not even working outside of doing stuff for ESPN. So believe it or not, I've lost a bit. I'm no longer putting Belichick there with Lombardi and Shula and Paul Brown. He's probably closer to 4 or 5 than number one. But to your point, what last night said to me was all the talk about the Giants trading up and getting Drake May, the quarterback out of North Carolina, blah, blah, blah. When you go out and draft a big-time wide receiver, the second-best wide receiver in the draft behind Marvin Harrison Jr., what that says to me is the future of the Giants at quarterback is still Daniel Jones.
Well, I'm biased with Belichick. I love Belichick. I think he's number one. I also go back also to the two Super Bowl championships that he won as a defensive coordinator, so to have 8 rings, I think is pretty incredible. And you're right.
By the way, he had Tom Brady play quarterback in New England, and the two he won with the Giants on defense, he had 56, Lawrence Taylor. So it's not like he won with decent players. He had the best at their positions ever.
But he did have the insight to draft Tom Brady, to develop Tom Brady when every other team had passed on Tom Brady 4 times over. And so for me, I always look at Belichick and say, hey, look, he was able to do that. I have to give him credit where credit deserves.
No, listen, I love him. I'm just saying, I'm not putting him there with Vince Lombardi. He's closer to 4 or 5. For me, 4 or 5 than number 1, but I love him. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I got him as number 1, but we'll agree to disagree on that one, and I understand the point that you're trying to make. And also, I'm a little biased. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years. He's a massive, massive conservative. He believes in this country. And so because of that...
Wait a second. Hold on a second. He turned his back on Donald Trump. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I've missed that one. If that's the case,
yeah. Trump wanted to give him a medal, and he said no, thank you, not from him.
Well, they ended up rekindling very, very closely after in 2021. I just saw him at the golf course probably a couple of months ago or so.
Okay, good.
In January or something like that.
Okay, good.
So I think that actually, to be perfectly honest, you want to get into the inside of some of this. I think that was at the urging of the Kraft family, as a matter of fact, and the National Football League in general, more than even Coach Belichick.
Okay.
Because he was, I remember some of those conversations. He was extremely apologetic to the president. There was a kind of more of a conversation between the two of them than there was a declining, if you will.
Okay.
But that relationship has since repaired very, very strongly.
Okay, good. Because I love Bill. Again, came up, like you said, those great years with Parcells, with the Giants, and certainly you can't argue his success with New England. Then he's won all those rings. But I do want to stick with Trump here. I mean, you were there since day one. There you were, looking so handsome in your suit and tie, standing outside the courtroom, literally day one last Monday. Yesterday was a big day. Pecker back on the stand. And then, of course, the immunity hearing of the Supreme Court looks like it'll be limited, not absolute immunity, but at least limited. What are your thoughts on the day that was yesterday? And by the way, it started yesterday with Donald Trump literally 2 blocks away from me at 6:30 in the morning, with hundreds of construction workers and union members showing once again why he really is the blue-collar president, why he really is the president of the people, why people like you and I love him so much. Just a packed day for Donald Trump.
Oh, 100%. I think it shows Donald Trump is ubiquitous, right? You can't get away from Donald Trump. He is the story driver, and he's going to continue to be driving these stories over the next 6.5 months. Most good, some will be bad in there. But the truth is, when I look at all of this, I just go back. I guess you just got to break all this down, right? First and foremost, start it off in the morning and look at the union workers that he was with right there, and you could see just how much he single-handedly really changed politics in this country. Those were consistent Democratic voters for decades and decades and decades. You could even say a century. And now they are consistent Trump supporters because he was one of the first people going back to before he was president talking about how those jobs, how those industries have been hollowed out here or were being hollowed out here in the 90s and 2000s. He was talking about at the time and how they could actually work to bring it back. And he did that with different plants. You could look at all the plants in South Carolina that they were able to establish when he was in there, all the different initiatives that they tried in the state of Ohio while he was president in order to get some of this work back here in the country, get some of the manufacturing back. And Lord knows, Sid, that's one of the big things that's going to happen if he ends up becoming 47th president of the United States. Look at the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, that's something that needs to be developed here in the United States of America. We don't want 80%+ of our drugs being actually produced outside the country and maybe in other countries that have nefarious ideas, let's say, like China. So that's certainly a big one. And then going to the court cases here, I think I think his defense attorney did an amazing job of just laying out how this was really a standard practice for the National Enquirer. They would buy stories consistently, had nothing to do whether or not this person was running for president or not, had everything to do whether that they could sell magazines or not sell Maggie.
I mean, exactly. The two people they brought up are not exactly, well, one was a politician, but an actor first, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the other, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, exactly. It was all about whether or not they could sell magazines. It was all about what the celebrity status was of these people. I mean, anytime you go in the supermarket, right, you're seeing people that are like, I don't know, David Beckham and whoever else that's on the cover. Maybe Rosenberg on the cover right there. Hopefully Sid never lands on the cover of that one. But maybe Sid Rosenberg.
Teresa Ruelas, you know, somebody from the Real Housewives of something.
Yes, exactly. So this had nothing to do with the fact that he was running for president of the United States. Had everything to do with the fact that he was a major and is still a major celebrity. And that's exactly kind of the crux of this argument. And I think where the DA's case really, really falls flat after you go and look and say, well, the statute of limitations expired. And even if the statute of limitations hadn't expired, this would be an underlying misdemeanor with what they're trying to actually establish. So when you break all of that down and then you get to that part right there, you can again see just how shaky a ground this case is really built on.
It is shaky. I want to move to the Columbia stuff with you because I like to point out my friends that are not Jewish, that I consider more Jewish than some of my own relatives. One of those guys is Long Island Congressman Anthony D'Esposito. He is such a huge, strong voice for being pro-Israel and the Jewish people. Mike Lawler, the same. And so are you, Andrew. I know that, of course, when you were with Donald Trump, you were part of the U.S. Holocaust Board. You've got a meeting coming up next week. You've always been very, very pro-Israel. Your dad, too. There's a lovely picture of your father and BP Netanyahu right by the Joe DiMaggio picture inside your dad's condominium. I noticed that right away. And, you know, I was out there this week, Monday at Columbia. You know how I feel. I spend every day talking about this. What are your thoughts on what we've seen over the last couple of weeks here in New York and now across the country?
Well, it was interesting. As we were leading into the segment here, I listened to, again, to the part that you had talking about with Speaker Johnson about Chuck Schumer. And it got me back to thinking, this specifically with Schumer, so going back 10 years ago now, of just how really undermining of Israel he has been in this process. And I go back to the JCPOA with Iran. Chuck Schumer had the opportunity to whip Senate votes against this terrible Obama deal that ended up flushing Iran with cash. Chuck Schumer took the coward's way out. And what he did was he let senators basically vote any way that they want. He said, hey, you do what you need to do. Don't worry, you're not going to have any kind of reprisal for me over here. And then after the vote was sealed, he went to the New York Times and wrote an op-ed in the New York Times talking about why the deal was bad. He didn't actually use any of his legislative power to do anything about it, but he actually wanted to make sure he could have his cake and eat it too. And sadly, that's what you get in Chuck Schumer. You get somebody who really does not care about Israel, I should say, does not care about Israel anywhere near as much as amassing political power. That's kind of what he cares about more than anything. But obviously, look, I stand very strongly by the fact that Israel has not just a right, but a duty to its citizens to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth. It is that simple. And until Hamas actually believes that Israel has a right to exist, that Jews have a right to exist, then what is even the discussion about here? They have a right and a duty to protect their citizens, and by not doing that, they actually would be derelict of their duty.
All that is true, but then when you talk about rights and legal issues, these students, according to Judge Napolitano and others, and they're right, I know they're right, they've got the right to sit outside of a university or inside a university, as long as they're peaceful and do what they're doing. I mean, me personally, and I don't encourage violence. Let me preface it by saying I don't encourage violence. But I've had fantasies about bashing every one of these kids over the head with a bat. I really have. I mean, I don't care if they're stupid, if they really are hateful, if they're paid, if they're unpaid. Every one of them is a scumbag. That's my opinion.
That's true, but I'll say this, right? And going back to looking at a lot of the people that are on these campuses, we've seen now a lot of them are paid protesters, and George Soros is one of the people that is underwriting these paid protesting here. I think it's called the Joint Students Against Students Support Palestine or something like that. I forget exactly what the name of the organization is, but a lot of those people that are on that campuses are not necessarily Columbia students. They don't have the right to be on that private property, on that campus, and doing that. Now, Judge Napolitano would certainly know more about the legal letter of the law than I do on this stuff. But if you break the rules, then there are consequences, Sid. And that's, I think, the thing that we've forgotten about in all of this stuff. If you break the rules, if you sow chaos, if you interrupt students from actually going to class and trying to get an education, as anti-Semitic an education it might be these days at Columbia, then there are consequences for those actions. And if we just live in a society and a city where there are no consequences for your actions, then guess what? Our quality of life is going to continue to go down the toilet in this city. Crime is going to continue to grow up. Businesses are going to continue to go elsewhere. And the whole system is going to collapse. And that's sadly what we are seeing over the last 10 years in New York City and what we've been seeing over the last few years, but specifically ramped up since October 7th on these college campuses.
In the final 10 seconds, Andrew Giuliani, another excellent, excellent appearance, talking about a whole bunch of different topics and doing a great job of it. In the final 10 seconds, I want you to give me the call. Jones, first touchdown pass to Neighbors.
Oh, you want me to give you the call?
Let's hear it. Place the ball at the 30-yard line, second and six. Ball at the opposing 30-yard line. Jones back to pass. Okay. Andrew, take it away.
Okay. Daniel Jones drops back to pass. He fumbles because they have a terrible offensive line. Thankfully, Malik Neighbors is there. He picks up the ball. He runs the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown, New York football Giants. Hey, Sid, I got one more question for you.
That's hilarious.
Here. Yeah, go ahead. One more question. If you and me and Bill Belichick end up having a lunch, can we get him back to number one? What do you think? Can we get him back to number one in the Sid rankings?
Does he pay?
Okay, I'll let him know that that's in there.
No, and by the way, when Andrew Giuliani says, me, you, and Belichick go for lunch, the last time he said that was with Trump, and guess what? We had lunch. So if Giuliani says that, odds are it's going to happen. Look, again, he's somewhere in the top five. He could be one. He could be four, depending upon what restaurant he takes us to. But either way, one more. What do you think about the Falcons? They just gave Kirk Cousins $180 million 2 weeks ago, and they draft a quarterback. What is that?
Another guy who's played a decent amount of golf with President Trump, Kirk Cousins. Fascinating. Kind of bizarre that they would do that and to draft a quarterback that seemed like a reach like that, that they may have gotten in the second round. They could have traded back. They could have done some other stuff and gotten more value and then picked up the guy. It was kind of bizarre on that end right there. Really, really
it was.
It was
weird. You give a guy $180 million 2 weeks ago, and then you draft Penix out of Washington. Yeah. Andrew, excellent job, buddy. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sid. Let's go Rangers tonight, baby. Got to clean up the Capitals. Let's go.
Big game three to Andrew's point. The Rangers took the first two at Madison Square Garden. The series, to Andrew's point, does shift to Washington tonight for a game three. Rangers looking to go up 3-0, which would be the complete opposite of the Islanders, who lost in Elmont last night to Carolina, and they are now down 3-0. Andrew, great job.